Hello everyone, this is Renato Creative and you're listening to the Mate L Ink Tattoo Podcast. This is the official show of Mate L Ink Magazine, which is a new, modern, diverse tattoo magazine. On this show, I'm interviewing Toni Garcia. She's an Atlanta-based model and she happened to be our first cover model. So I'm very excited to have you listen to the show. Make sure you share this show with your friends, family, classmates, and coworkers. We'll be right back after these messages.
Mayel Ink Tattoo Podcast features tattoo professionals and models.
Mayel Ink Magazine is a diverse magazine that you have been waiting for. Magazine featuring the hottest tattoo artists, tattoo models, tattoo shops, and inspiration. Grab a copy when it comes out September the 1st at mkroyal.com. Welcome back to the Mate L Ink Podcast. I'm your host, Renato Creative, and today's show I'm interviewing model and licensed professional counselor Toni Garcia. Toni Garcia recently appeared on the Mate L Ink cover and the first cover at that, and today she's going to talk to us.
Hey.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing
all right. So thanks for joining the show.
Oh yeah, no problem. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so you got our first cover ever. So let me know what you thought when you saw it.
Oh man, it's so many emotions. Kind of when Antoine showed me the picture, it was almost like I was in disbelief. I was like, oh, thank you for kind of making that up a little bit, you know, like, because sometimes he'll put things together because he's really creative. Then he said, no, this is a cover of a new magazine. You're the cover model. And I went to the Instagram page and saw it. And words to describe it: humbled, in disbelief, grateful. My heart sank, you know what I'm saying? I was just extremely happy because there's a story behind the photo shoot. There's a story behind the jeans. There's a story behind the tattoos and just how things kind of just seamlessly aligned for this to happen. So first off, like the jeans, I've been trying to do that photo shoot for at least 3 months. I've had it in my mind that I wanted to do this and things just kept happening. You know, I just call it, you know, little detours that were like, no, not this photographer. Well, this photographer reached out. Well, no, not this person. And work and different things just kind of kept me from actually doing it at the time that I thought I was supposed to do it. And so when I ended up doing it, it was actually with the right person that I was supposed to do it with, because it's not often that you're able to be that vulnerable with the photographer to explain to them the meaning behind the art. So, you know, a lot of people do denim shoots, you know, with clothing, it's fashion, but you know, my fashion is normally like, if I can be in charge of the shoot, it's an expression of an emotion that sometimes I'm not always able to verbalize. So this photo shoot was very therapeutic for me because those are my dad's jeans. He went on to the Ages back in 2008, and those were his jeans. And all he wore was 501 Levi's jeans, and those were gifted to me. And I wear them every chance I get. You know, the jean jacket, that was gifted to me by my mom, you know, my sophomore year of college. Her just as encouragement, like, keep doing what you're doing. I know you like this, and right now you can't go shopping like how you want to go shopping, so here you go. And I've kept those items with me just as reminders of just their constant support, whether they're with me or they're not. And like I said, I felt vulnerable enough to share the story with Antoine. And for that picture, you know, to end up on the cover of a magazine, for that to be my first time sharing that story with someone on an intimate level like that so that I can create that art. For that to be my first time allowing someone to shoot my entire back, because that's not been done. There's been times where I've had shoots where you can kind of see the top part of my tattoos, but never just exposed in that way to where it looked like, you know, art and something that was honorable enough to pay tribute to my parents who gave me the genes, the blueprint for who I am today. So for that to end up on the cover of a magazine is freaking phenomenal. Like, you just can't make that up. So it's, you know, the first time I've done a photo shoot in those jeans, the first time I've had my tattoo photographed in its entirety, and this is my first time on a cover, and this is the first issue of a new magazine that Mayel Inc. is putting out. So, you know, just to put all those pieces together, it's, you can't make this up. You know, it's amazing how all that stuff came together. And I'm pretty sure, you know, and that's just my side of the story. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a whole nother backstory behind, you know, the reasons how you got a hold of the picture and the choice that you, you know, different options that you had to even decide who should be on the cover. So,
yes, it's very hard. So I could tell you what, you know, what happened. So there was a celebrity that we was going to get on the cover originally. I was talking to her publicist, going back and forth. I ended up getting a stylist. I got a hairstylist, a great stylist out of Atlanta that you should definitely connect with, Kiana. A stylish Kiana.
Okay.
And it's a fashion stylist named Sierra Jones. So I had both of them and Antoine, and we was gonna shoot this celebrity from Love and Hip Hop. But something happened where we couldn't really do the shoot. So I decided, I was talking to him, and we was going back and forth and talking about the shoot. And then he ended up sending me your picture. And I was like, wow, this is an amazing picture. And then we started talking about photography and stuff. And then, you know, I just went to sleep. And then I woke up and I thought about that picture. I was like, hey man, can I use that picture to make a mock-up cover so that people see that this is a real magazine? Because I knew from doing Mayel Kids and all the other 5 magazines that I have put out that I had to have proof that it's a real magazine to get people interested. People was already interested without the cover, but when I dropped your cover, the mock-up cover, they really went crazy. So what I did is I looked at your image. I was setting in Photoshop. So I used Photoshop and another program. And I was in there just looking at your picture. I kept looking at your tattoo. The tattoo just draw me. Even when he sent the picture to me, the mock-up, which it was definitely a mock because it had proof up there. And what I did after he sent me the picture, this, remember, Mayel Inc. was brand new. We didn't even have a website or email. I was doing everything through our main magazine, Mayel Kids. So he sent it to the Mayel Kids email, and I downloaded the picture and I started working on it. I said, this picture needs to be cropped in so people can see her tattoo, because a lot of people may not know that that's a full picture. That picture goes, you know, down to, it shows your foot, your feet, and the bottom of the bench. So a lot of people may not know that, but I cropped the picture, and by cropping it, I started looking at the picture and I saw dragons. Because, you know, a lot of times people, especially like tribal tattoos, they use dragons. And so I kept looking at your tattoo. I kept looking at your skin color. I said, you know what? This logo matches her skin tone. And so I had made the logo, you know, before. I was looking at the logo. I was like, it's perfect. I don't have to change the color. It's like I made the logo for your cover and didn't even know it when I choose the orange. And then what I did is I added a dragon to it. So you'll see two dragons on the end of the cover. So that's what you see, that little, the weird, the nice looking shapes. Together, it looks good. It's two dragons. And then I put it together. And then I started putting text, faded text. So I had Survivor, Sexy, Your Name, Tony Garcia and some other stuff, and I put it together and faded it. And I sent it to Antoine. I said, because I was thinking it looks good, but I wanted a second opinion. I sent it to him. I said, hey, man, what you think of this? Because I was trying to make sure it looked good. He was like, man, that's fire. He was like, yo, this should be the cover. And so I was like, no, that's how he's, I didn't really talk to him on the phone, but I already know that's what he meant. He really loved it. And then once I start posting the cover, people really got excited. And I started seeing people I didn't even know. They were sharing the cover. Even with this, even the radio interview poster, a lot of people I don't even know are sharing it. And now I got people in Lagos, Nigeria trying to get into the magazine. So that is my inbox is packed with people. Like this is the first magazine where I got this amount of response, because I've been doing magazines since 2011. Okay. Never have I ever got this response for a magazine this quick. We got in 8 days, we got all the submissions for the magazine, and half of the magazine's already done.
Wow. So
this is just amazing. I never experienced this in my life, and I guess maybe it's because all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And then picking you is a great idea, because I know if I had picked that celebrity, I wouldn't have came up with this logo. It would have been the plain boring logo, and I probably would not came up with some other stuff that I might have came up with. Also, we're trying to get it on the newsstand, so if you go to a bodega, a corner store, the subway, or we also want to get it into Barnes and Noble and places. It's going to be on Amazon. It's going to be on Walmart.com. And it's going to be at local bookstores. But we want to get it in more places, because a lot of people love tattoos. And like, if tattoos are more accepted now.
Mm-hmm. So. That they are. Like, that's another reason why this means so much. Because, like you said, tattoos are more accepted now. But, you know, for a long time, tattoos had a negative stigma attached to them. It was almost like a death sentence professionally, especially if you wanted to be a model. If you wanted to have any type of professional career, it was frowned upon. And so, like I said, for you guys to choose me, I'm almost an anomaly. So, one, I've decided to pursue a career, you know, as a model. And I have all kinds of tattoos. Everywhere. Another is, you know, the acronym behind my name, LPC, that stands for Licensed Professional Counselor. And so I'm actually a licensed mental health therapist. And so that's a whole professional job. And for me to be able to show people that you can be as dynamic as you want to be and still express yourself artistically, like your publication is allowing for a platform to show people that. Because I've had people, I'm going to tell you this story, because I've been in Atlanta for a minute. So I used to sit at 6 feet under a lot, and they have a patio. And I remember I was sitting up there minding my business, doing my little ditty bop. And there was a family sitting in front of me, and I can tell when people are kind of looking back and forth at you. And I had my tattoos out, my legs was out, my arms was out. And a guy, and this is a true story, I can't make this up, a guy and his daughter walked up to me, and I looked up, I said, hey, how are you guys doing this evening? He says, can you tell my daughter, because she wants tattoos, she keeps looking at your tattoos, she said, can you tell her how many trials and tribulations that you've had to go through professionally in finding a job because of your tattoos? And I just shook my head. I said, sir, I'm probably not the person that you want to speak to about that. I'm not going to help you get your point across to your daughter in the way that you want. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, I have 2 degrees. At the time I was working on my doctorate, I took a pause because of my daughter. And I said, I have yet to face any roadblocks because of my tattoos. I said, if anything, it's made me a better therapist. It's helped me connect with people more. So I'm probably not the person that you want to speak to say that I've had some negative consequences associated with my desire to express myself through body art. And he just looked stunned, and his daughter looked at him with a little smirk, And right, you know, because he really meant that. And so he walked off and his wife later came and said, she said, I'm so sorry for my husband. I don't know what's wrong with him. And he told me what happened at the table. And I said, you need to stop bothering people, because one day you're gonna hear something you don't want to hear. She said, and you told him something he didn't want to hear, and he needed to hear it.
Yeah.
Yes. So your magazine, the fact that it's reaching people in Nigeria, Africa, is that it's gonna be international, and it's reaching people of color. You know, we're oftentimes overlooked when it comes to like our artistic, you know, things like this in terms of tattoos and body art. We do that. Mm-hmm. We have a whole community of talented individuals, and you're creating a platform that allows for that.
It comes from us, the tattooing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's our culture.
It has a history behind it. And like I said, I appreciate it, because what you've done is just allowed me to be the dynamic person that I am, that you can be beautiful, that you can have a story, that you can be vulnerable, that you can still be professional and educated and have a few tattoos. And the other thing, because I'm a what a lot of people aren't, you know, hearing, and I haven't said it explicitly, is because I'm a therapist, that does not mean that I'm perfect, that I have all the answers. Part of what makes me a really good therapist is because I also have to go through healing and process like you. So the fact that I'm wearing my dad's jeans, grief looks very different for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go anywhere, you know? And so me wearing those jeans, every day I'm not sad or crying, but some days it's just, you know, I wish my pops was here. And the jeans, it's a tangible way to represent that. And so we don't talk about a lot of that in the Black community as well. So the fact that, you know, I'm a therapist and I'm a real person, I'm a face, I can at some point in time let people know, like, you can use your art for healing. It's okay to discuss grief, heartache, pain, the celebration of life.
And then you're Hispanic, so a lot of people get tattoos in the Black community too. They mm-hmm. get tattoos to remember their loved ones.
Yes.
So it's more to it than you're trying to mess up your life. You're trying, sometimes you're showing respect to your family, mm-hmm. your loved ones, your ancestors.
Yep, you're paying tribute. Mm-hmm. And I have a tattoo for my dad that I got. It's on my inner wrist. And so a lot of people that I know, they tend to give these negative stereotypes. Sometimes that's somebody that I care about. And as long as this is on me and I'm alive, they're alive too. And they with me.
Yeah.
They're here. I can look on, if you got a tattoo, I can look on my left shoulder. They're right there. And so, like I said, I think this publication is wonderful because not only is it going to allow people to display their art, but also the story behind it. Like I said, I can look at all my tattoos and, you know, some of them are funny, and I can tell you what I was doing at that time in my life, you know, or what was going on. They actually all have a story. None of them are happenstance, random. And even if people do have random tattoos, it's still a story. And I think it's beautiful all the same.
And I also want to make emphasis that all of this is possible because of Mayo Kids. Because with Mayo Kids, I was able to connect with the publicist.
Mm-hmm.
And because Mayo Kids, you know, I have publicists in my inbox all day sending me celebrities for Mayo Kids. So also, you must, if you like Mayo Ink, you got to like Mayo Kids, because Mayo Kids made Mayo Ink possible.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so just like you said, you're even just like you said, you providing a platform to children,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really kind of groom them and allow them to, you know, express their artistic abilities. Confidence starts very young. Those talents and gifts. Yeah, it starts young. And the fact that you're allowing them to say, like, oh, I like to dance, and it can be published somewhere for other people to celebrate, you know, mm-hmm. their talents. And like you said, it gave birth to this.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. If you go on to the Instagram where all the moms and dads are, all the magazines celebrate Caucasian kids, but they don't celebrate Hispanic. And my biggest supporter is a Puerto Rican lady named Anna Rosado.
Mm-hmm.
Like she really loved the magazine, and she said the reason she loved it is because it's different, because there's not really a platform for Hispanics, there's not a platform for Black. There's not really a platform for Asians, because that's why we got a lot of support in South Korea.
Yep, and like you said, showing the diversity within our community. So, you know, there's a lot of people of African American descent, but also are Hispanic, so Afro Latina. You know, like you said, the Puerto Rican community, the Asian community, and just even like I'm gonna just say like Black people in general. Like we just stick with that. We're a wide range. I remember in graduate school, I had to take a cultural diversity class, and of course they made you know write a paper about a different culture. And I almost failed a class, but I wasn't sure if my paper was going to be acceptable because people were saying I'm gonna go write about you know this particular community or I'm gonna go to this festival. I said I want to write about Black people because we're diverse within ourselves. And I broke it down to my teacher about why I wanted to do it. And we all develop our racial identity differently. We all have different experiences. And we kind of get segmented and we don't get the opportunity to really just see each other as a collective, beautiful people. And that's needed. That's needed. That is needed because... yes, my last name is Garcia, but boy, I love my brown skin.
It's beautiful too.
Thank you.
That's what everybody looking at too. Like it's the way you look.
But yeah, that's the root of my beauty. That's my descendants from that's in my genes. That's what makes me me. And so how could I not own that?
Well, it's really everybody genes, because I remember when I was young, scientists came out and straight up said Adam and Eve was Black. So they even put it on the magazine back in the day. So that's everybody, including Caucasians.
So so there's been no point in time where I've not owned that. In addition to, you know, like I said, you know, I can't deny that, you know, that's my father. His last name, that's where I got my father, my grandfather. But all that together is in my genes, and it's made me beautiful, and I own it. And like I said, you know, your first question, how did you feel when you got the cover? I felt amazing because it represents so many different things. And like you said, it brought out so many different avenues and aspects that, you know, people can relate to.
Yeah, and did we?
Go ahead.
I was about to say, we might have the first female of mixed race vice president.
Yep. So, and then, like you said, you know, women, you know, it's a celebration. And another thing your cover allowed me to do was to embrace my feminine beauty. And there's a beauty in us being feminine and vulnerable, but it's also strength was in that picture too. And so I thank you for just giving me the platform and ability to display that, because it's so many different levels to being a woman, where I think we're magnificent. I love being a woman.
I was drawn to that, to your fade. I was like, well, okay, cool. She got a blonde hair and she have a fade. And I was like, that is different. So I want that. Plus, she's beautiful. So, like, even dudes who might say, I don't like women with short hair, they see you. That's going to change their mind.
I've had that happen. It's so funny you say, because I have another friend, she has short hair too, and we laugh about it. Now I've had men say, you know what? I don't like women with short hair, but it's something about you, though. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm just attractive, and maybe you're attracted to me. No, because, you know, I like long hair. And I said, well, maybe you just need to rethink that, you know. But I've definitely had that happen. And part of the reason why I've cut my hair off and on throughout high school years on up into my adult years. But my most recent cutting my hair off was, I want to say, after my daughter's first birthday. I have a 3-year-old daughter. And I cut it off. And I haven't let it grow back since. And it is so liberating. It feels so good not attaching my femininity to hair. And there's nothing wrong with it because I love hair because I've had it. I've worn sew-ins, weaves, but it's just something about, I always end up going back to the short hair. And it's because it's so freeing and I have nothing, I literally have nothing to hide behind. What you see is what you get. This is the shape of my head. This is my forehead. These are my eyes. You see me. And I get to look in the mirror and see myself. And so, again, like I said, the fact that you guys are even allowing and celebrating that, because that's not mainstream. It's becoming that, you know, with this whole movement, you know, faded beauties and bald beauty and...
Black Lives Matter.
Just, you know, women embracing, being able to embrace their natural state. And if they want to cut their hair off, they can and still be considered beautiful for you to put that on the cover. But that doesn't represent mainstream. At all. And so I appreciate, again, you guys just really taking a chance, because, and that was something my barber and I came up with, Chris Feggins. He's been with me for a minute when I got my little part in my hair, but I came back from quarantine. That was my first quarantine cut. I said, I got a little hair on my head. I want to do something different. And I had the mohawk with the faded sides, and that's what we went with. And I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep, so it's, like you said, it's a mix. You know, like I can have short hair and still be beautiful.
You know who you're, I don't know, I hope I didn't say this already, but you remind me of Eva, the diva from America Next Top Model. You got same skin complexion and everything. Mm-hmm.
When America's Next Top Model had first came out and I had short hair, they're like, do you know who you resemble or who you look like? And I took it as a compliment because I think she's gorgeous.
She is.
And I've seen her in person before. And so she's not one of those beauties that's just like, it's a beauty for on TV or she just looks like that. No, that's what she looks like. She is gorgeous. Makeup to no makeup in the morning or in the, she's beautiful. So I took that as a compliment, you know.
Beautiful eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But she has some beautiful eyes also. So that's probably why people are drawn to you.
Thank you.
People, like I said, people I don't know, they were sharing your cover and the radio poster. But I think a lot of people just excited because it's a tattoo magazine that features people of color.
Yes. That's rare. Because I know offline we talked about this a lot, but there's a lot of mainstream magazines for tattoos. So there's no shortage of tattoo magazines. But there is definitely a shortage of tattoo magazines that display black art or people of color, you know. So you coming out with this, like I said, this is a pioneering type thing. You're giving a lot of people an outlet to display their art. So I don't see your momentum stopping anytime soon. If anything, you've started a movement. You're going to have people wanting to be in your magazine, wanting to display their art, wanting to get out there and let people know what they've been doing for the longest, but haven't had the platform to show it.
Well, I can't take credit. There's a, there was Black Men publisher. He put out the first tattoo magazine featuring people of color. It was called Urban Ink, but it's not around. It's not around. See, he was the publisher, but it was owned by a white company. And so the white company decided to get rid of that magazine, but they still have the white magazine. And that was owned by a porn company.
you got the history on all this stuff.
Yeah, so it was owned by a porn company. And when they sold their company, they sold it to 1-900-SEX, I think. So 1-900-SEX kept the porn magazine. Got rid of Hype Hair. Is Hype Hair still around?
I remember Hype Hair. So you're really you dropping some. I'm learning. Like I said, you can learn if you pay attention. You learn something new. I'm learning something. So don't ask me no questions because I'm listening.
But yeah. I wonder if Hype Hair still around. But if Hype Hair still around, 1-900 phone sets on it. They got rid of Black Men, and so I saw Marcus. He created a Marcus. The guy who was the editor of Black Men, he started a new fashion magazine.
Okay.
But the thing about Urban Ink is they didn't feature I mean, they feature regular people, but never on the cover. So that's something that's that I'm doing different. I'm going to feature regular people on the cover.
Those, the hidden gems.
Yes, the up and coming stars.
Mm-hmm.
They're important too, because some of the people with the best tattoos may not be famous.
Yep, there's a lot of unsigned, like I said, unsigned hype walking around, a lot of hidden gems. You know, I can just think about some people that I have on my team and where I met them at. It wasn't at a celebrity photo shoot. It wasn't at some upscale type situation. They were literally off Candler Road, in Decatur, or East Atlanta, or on the West Side, and they're honing their craft, but it's not in the place where most people would think to go look. But it's talent everywhere. But sometimes, like you said, they don't get the opportunity. They're not in those rooms, or they don't have a publication to really submit their product to, so it can be displayed so that other people can see it.
Yeah, and then a lot of times I think with tattoo artists, they have to be real established. So I got this amazing tattoo art. She's a female tattoo artist. So that's another thing that I'm gonna try to focus on, finding female tattoo artists. She was hesitant to submit to the magazine, but I stayed on her. So I think she's happy. She's young too. It's like she's in her 20s. She just opened up her tattoo shop. So that's her first time being published, and she's showing off her tattoo shop. So that's a blessing for her to be able to open up her tattoo shop. So I interviewed her, and like I said, she was kind of hesitant. I had to keep talking to her for to get her to do the magazine. But her company's called Ink. I'm not gonna say her tattoo name, but you'll see it in the magazine. And she's amazing. Like, I don't know how long she's been doing tattoos. Oh, she said she started off doing tattoos on herself. But
okay.
She's very amazing. And so someone like her probably wouldn't have made it in hype. Wouldn't have made it in Urban Ink. So that's why this magazine is important.
Yes, it's extremely important. And now I'm behind it 100%. Like I said, I'm behind it 100%. Just the whole idea. And being able to support people being creative.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. I started off as an artist, you know, drawing. So this is important to me too. And also, I'm a feature artist, because major part of tattoo is drawing. So like, if you're a traditional artist and you're a fan of Tony, you can submit your art also.
Yep. So you're really opening up a lot of doors for I'm not even gonna say opening up doors. You've actually created a door.
Mm-hmm.
You created a door. You have the key, and you've decided I'm gonna open it.
Yeah, and then definitely wanted to show love to females, since the co-founder is a female, T. Molina, and actually the magazine is named after her 3-year-old daughter.
Oh, my daughter's 3.
Oh wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why we made the magazine, to help the kids out. It's like, hey, the kids need a platform where they're not discriminated because of their, you know, culture or anything. And so the same thing with this tattoo magazine, and like featuring you and you showing off your culture and stuff, that's very important.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, to go back to your first question, how did I feel? I felt so many things, because I wasn't necessarily just thinking about myself. I was thinking about, you know, like I said, my family, my parents, different experiences that I've been through associated with my tattoos. And then just the people that I've come in contact with that did my tattoos, people that I know that have tattoos, and allowing people the space and opportunity to tell their story.
Oh, yeah. You got to shout out your tattoo artists, because they did a great job. Without them, I wouldn't have probably came up with the logo.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to write that down, because like I said, I was like a little gypsy.
Okay.
So it actually wasn't, it's on my back, it's not just one tattoo artist.
Okay.
Right. So the shading up top, That's one artist. The willow tree and the flower, the butterfly in the middle of my back, that was done years before I even got anything. So like I said, none of my tattoos were really done in the traditional way where I said, oh, let me come in and get this whole thing done. It was based on my mood and how I was feeling. You know, initially because what's on my back is a willow tree and water. And basically a willow tree, that was my happy place when I was in seventh grade. There was a willow tree behind our house. And if I needed to get away and not cause too much trouble, because y'all can still look out the window and see where I'm at, I ain't wandered off. But that was where I sat. And that's where I took opportunity. And I probably wasn't talking this way, you know, when I was in seventh grade, but what I was doing was reflecting. I was taking time and space for myself in nature. You know, I was grounding myself. If I had a hard day, I can go sit outside. Anybody gonna bother me? And I can sit in nature. So that was really my happy place. The clouds above the shading above the willow tree happened because I was going through a rough time in my life. And so I couldn't really see my happy place at that time in my life. So I added some clouds. I'm not feeling that way anymore, but like I said, I can look back and see why I did certain things. You know, my tattoos have been very therapeutic for me. You know, so it's not just art. It was a form of therapy and nonverbal self-expression, because all the times I don't always have words to articulate, or the people in my circle, you know, I hold them very close and dear to me. But some stuff you kind of want to figure out for yourself before you share it. And so tattoos allowed me a way to figure it out. And I can talk about my tattoos in addition to telling my story if I want to share it. So, like I said, everybody, it has deeper meanings for everybody.
Yeah, you know? that's the thing. And hopefully with this magazine, a few people will change their mind, you know, because a lot of people have, you know, they're narrow-minded, so.
And when you said they changed your mind, because I remember I was working at this one agency, and even younger kids, they were like, Miss Garcia, are you in a gang? I said, a gang? They said, yeah, because I saw you had lifted up your sleeve to, because I had like a basket. I saw you pick up your laptop and you like lifted up your sleeve. I said, come here. I said, what kind of gang am I in with these butterflies, daisies, and cocoons on my arm? And all the kids bust out laughing. But just even him from a distance saying, man, you know, my counselor in a gang, man, she tatted up. And it's just like, no, this is metamorphosis on my arm. This is a caterpillar and butterflies. So really having people just take the time to look at people as individuals instead of like actually just judging them by their tattoos. And even if you think that you know what a tattoo means, that just might be a time in their life. That doesn't mean that that's actually who they are today or what they have going on. So,
yeah, there's a meme also where there's this guy, right, and he's on a motorcycle and he have his sleeve tatted up, and then he said, you probably wouldn't know my day job. And then next to the picture is him in a doctor suit, a doctor's uniform. So that picture still sticks with me. So they was like, that's my day job.
Correct. So I think it's important to allow people to be the whole of them, and not discounting them because, like you said, you saw a small segment of a tattoo and you immediately went to, like I said, the guy went to, you know, she's had a hard life. She can't get a job. She has those tattoos. Let my daughter know before she goes to college and ruins her entire life.
And then the same people are the same people who say they support the troops, but I'll tell you one thing, most soldiers have tattoos.
Oh, a good bit of my family is in the military, and so they do have to be mindful of where the tattoos are at, but it's really just allowing people to be people, you know. That's really, and not judging people, and you know, just taking the opportunity that if they allow you in their space and you have a question, ask versus kind of walking away with these thoughts about who you think they are and their walk of life. Ask. They might actually give you an answer that, and you might be pleasantly surprised.
So, definitely. So, well, I forgot to ask you, you know, where are you from?
Okay, so, like I said, my parents were in the military, and so I was originally born in the parish of Leesville in Louisiana, and so that's right next to basically Port Polk, Louisiana. So that's my birthplace. I didn't stay there long, so I didn't get the cool Louisiana accent, and I didn't really get to take in the culture like I would have hoped to, but that's my birthplace, and so I stayed there till I was maybe a old three-year-old or a young four-year-old. And then we moved to San Antonio, Texas, which is Fort Sam Houston. So that's where I was at. And then I ended up moving to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And then from Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri to Decatur, Georgia. And so if people ask, I claim Decatur, Georgia as my home because that's where basically the entire maternal side of my family is. That's where I'm able to say, like, I have friends from this age going up. I'm because of my parents being in the military, I don't have people that I can say, oh, I've known this person since I was three, or I've known them since I was in the second grade. So this is where a lot of my growing up took place, where I have a lot of memories here. You know, I still have my first best friend that I met here. We still talk when I moved here. So if people ask, I say I'm from Georgia. I've been here. I know Decatur like the back of my hand. But if they talk to me long enough, there's something they're going to say, like, you're from here, but you're not of here. There's something about you. And they're absolutely right. So that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. So I still claim Georgia is home.
Okay. So have you done any fashion shows or anything?
The most recent, I guess, fashion show that I've done, it was a virtual fashion show for New York with Pink Masson. And so that was the most recent fashion show that I did. And it was a virtual fashion show basically because COVID-19 has really changed the culture of what people are doing now. You know, you can't do it in the traditional way anymore. Fashion show that I did, and that was maybe 2 months ago. So a print. I've been taking a lot of pictures and really just building up my brand, basically. But because I started modeling in 2018, and so 2018, that was all pre-COVID. I was doing a fashion show maybe almost every week or every other week. Cause that's how busy Atlanta was. And that's how I got to know a lot of people in the industry and was able to network a lot. So a lot of the things that I'm doing now in 2020 are because of seeds that I planted during 2018 and 2019.
I'm glad that you touched on that. Because when you do fashion shows and you go to events, that's where you meet people that actually can get you paid work. And magazines like Mayel is good because you can say, hey, you can check me out in Mayel, or you can actually take the tier sheet and put it into your portfolio book. So when everything is, you know, normal, you can show people that tier sheet and they'll be like, oh wow, a magazine. So and I did a podcast the other day where I talked about why magazines is important and why you got to have that printed tier sheet too, because you know a lot of models don't print their pictures no more.
Yes, and so like I said, in terms of networking, the a lot of the things that I'm doing now, like I said, is because of networking. It's because of, you know, just using I don't want to say basic communication skills, but because we're so virtual now, we don't really talk to people. There's no connection made. And so even when I'm talking with somebody, or I meet someone on Instagram, at some point in time, we have to connect, whether it's over the phone or, of course, now that it's COVID, meeting safely, masked up, you know, social distancing, but you really actually have to connect with people. So a lot of the stuff that I'm doing now, like I said, are because of seeds that I planted, people that I've met, the efforts that I've put forth, and, even the company that I'm working with now, New York Summer Fashion Explosion. Like I mentioned, the last virtual fashion show that I did was with Pink Masson. I met them in 2019 in New York. And now things are kind of coming around full circle. So, but until the world opens, because I'm hoping to get back on the runway, because that is my passion. That's actually how I came up with my name, Light Breeze. I still have my website under Light Breeze, but I basically came up with it because that's how I move on the runway. It's really not a walk, it's a whole mood. And Light Breeze, like I said, that's how I aspire to move through life, like a light breeze. You don't see the breeze coming, you just feel it.
Oh, let me tell you about this though.
Go ahead.
So I was trying to tag you, and I kept tagging somebody named Light Bright. And she finally hit me up. She was like, so basically she's a stud. She was like, why you keep tagging me? And then she was like, so you run a magazine, right? Or are you the model? Mm-hmm. I said, I run the magazine. And she's like, what? How can I get in the magazine?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it worked
yeah.
out.
So, I sent her the information. I guess she thought that I was going to say she couldn't do the magazine. But I was like, no, just get you some professional pictures and submit to this address and I'll get you in the magazine.
So you see how stuff is, even if it's not going the way that you think it's going the way that it's supposed to go. And so even with that, we're talking about, you know, the African-American community and different ethnicities, the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. you know, that's why I was like this publication, and even just you, it's, well, I'm not going to say it was on accident. Nothing's mm-hmm. a coincidence. You opened up the door for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
To include another community that is generally has to create, they have to create their own stuff.
Well, the co-founder, she's a lesbian, so.
Mm-hmm.
And most people I work with is either, they're usually lesbians or studs. So that's who I work with.
Okay.
And then I see a lot of people don't realize this, but a lot of ladies that are studs want to model. And, you know, sometimes they may not want to wear a dress, but they might wear like short shorts or something like that. And a bra or something. But they may not. Mm-hmm. Then once they start modeling, they might actually start putting on a dress and heels. But like a lot of the people that you see modeling, most of them are tomboys and studs.
And like you said, I think it's important, you know, to allow people to express themselves how they want mm-hmm. to be expressed. So a dress and a heels does not necessarily mean mm-hmm. modeling. You know, like I said initially when we were talking, modeling for me, and I think for a lot of people, it's a form of self-expression. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for people to be comfortable in their skin, to be comfortable with their wearing, and to be comfortable in how they express themselves from top to bottom. Like I said, I think it's wonderful that you said you kind of accidentally reached out to her, but it turns out that, hey, she's interested. And, you know, mm-hmm, and if she gets professional pictures, it's something that can be considered.
That's going to boost her self-esteem, because professional pictures always do mm-hmm. that. And then, who knows, she may say, I'm not going to wear a dress. I actually had a lady that considered herself a stud. I'm never going to wear a dress. Now she's wearing dresses, and she's now married and have kids.
Well, everybody has a different journey.
Definitely, but you know, so I'm saying, sometimes if you know, once they start taking the pictures and they get into it, they'll probably start wearing dresses and other stuff. So it can happen. So that's why I don't discount. I don't like turn down studs. Plus, you know, I'm featuring men too, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I think that's awesome that you, like you said, you accidentally reached out to her, and it could potentially turn into an opportunity to make the magazine more mm-hmm. inclusive to different communities and people of different demographics, so that we're not, it's not excluding anybody or making anyone feel as if, you know, because they are who they are, that they can't be a part of this. So, like I said, I think it's beautiful that this is, you know, this magazine has the capacity to reach so many different people on so many different levels through mm-hmm. art. So, like I said, again, I'm excited about the publication. Even just, you know, being able to have this conversation with you, I think is very uplifting and enlightening to just share my thoughts and different things of that nature as it relates to tattoos and art and self-expression.
Uh-huh. And we got to remember that, like we were talking about earlier, just like the LGBT community, the tattoo community was kind of underground. But back in the day, yeah, they definitely called them outcasts and outsiders.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the tattoos have been stigmatized for a while. And so I can say even when I got them, you know, I was young when I first got my tattoo. And it was kind of like that was the stamp of you have ruined mm-hmm. your life. What are you going to do? Don't get any more. And then I grow up. And like I said, I have that encounter at 6 feet under. And it's like, well, can you tell my daughter how hard your life has been? Well, I have encountered some challenges, but it has never been because of my tattoos. That's not going to stop her from pursuing her dreams or anything like that. So, like I said, the cover meant a lot. It was basically a representation of you can be who you are and still survive, still thrive, mm-hmm. Still be beautiful, still pursue a career, still be a good person, still because people attach, like I said, as many positive things that we're talking about, there are so many people that attach negative things to it. And so I'm usually a very private person. And so even just being modeling is kind of very different for me, but I enjoy it. But sometimes you have to come from behind the curtain. And so again, for me to be on the cover, for us to be talking, for people to actually hear my voice and my thoughts about this, that tattoos mean so much mm-hmm. more.
And then another thing is you have TV shows now, Ink Master, Black Ink, mm-hmm. and it's probably more shows coming because people like the tattoo shows.
So, I mean, this like I said, this opportunity, and I'm pretty sure that there'll be more opportunities that come from this, but like you said, it's opening up avenues and doors for people that in the past may have been just been overlooked because there's no platform, there's no publication.
Definitely like
them.
Black models with tattoos, they and even with some of the Caucasian models, you know, especially if they really heavy tattooed and they may not have the you know, because really the other magazines can't feature everyone anyway too. That's how I think also. Yeah. So that's why this platform is good. So, you know, even with some of them, mm-hmm. they may not be able to get published in some of the other magazines, too. And I see a lot of amazing models. You know, that's why Suicide Girls was like the big site back in the day, because a lot of women just couldn't get their work out there. And so that's why the lady created Suicide Girls. And that's why that's a real popular site.
Mm-hmm. So, and even, like you say, in the modeling industry, generally, you're not supposed to have any tattoos. If you do, they're supposed to be mm-hmm. small, minimal. So that actually can be a barrier. If you're heavily tattooed, the designer may come in, you know, all black in long sleeves, and they might, oh, I love your walk. I love your face, your look. And then you get to the fitting, and they're like, you have a whole back piece. Mm-hmm. And they don't want you to wear their designs, or you're not able to be booked for photo shoots because of your tattoo. So, like I said again, like I can't give you enough praises and well wishes with this endeavor, because you're really opening up doors. There's a lot of phenomenal models that I meet that are tattooed just mm-hmm. like me, and sometimes I love your look, you're beautiful, but there's not much work for you out there because of your tattoos, or it's limited work, or you might have some designers that are just like, well, you know, it'll clash with my outfit that I've created. I don't want too much going on. And so they'll pick the model without the tattoos.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not just a models of color thing, but it definitely affects models of color the most.
Mm-hmm. So this is, I'm excited. just to see, you know, be at the beginning of the growth of this publication, and for you guys to have just allowed me to have the opportunity to be on the cover and to be the initial face that people see when they think of your brand as you're moving along.
And I'm just shocked of all the response that we're getting. Like I said, all the people contact, my inbox is full with people, not just my inbox. One of the models, Jasmine, her inbox is full with people talking. One of the photographers, anyone that's associated with us, probably getting a lot of emails. Like, I don't know if you're getting a lot of emails, but how do I get in the magazine?
I've been getting a lot of positive responses off of Instagram, just in my comment section, DMs, really just people that have been kind of watching my journey since I started modeling and watching the evolution of Light Breeze to feeling comfortable enough to announce myself as I am Tony Garcia, LPC, a professional. And I do have tattoos, kind of not fragmenting myself, but I have got nothing but love and positive responses.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to redo your cover, and I'm going to put licensed counselor on it. And I'll put Garcia, because I want the Hispanic community to feel proud also.
Mm-hmm. Because that is definitely something that I balance all the time, just, you know, the fullness of me, you know. So this is a huge step, just personally. This is a huge stepping stone for me, and any of my friends that know me personally, they know that this is a huge step, but it's a huge step in the right direction, and I'm happy that we've connected.
Uh-huh. Me too.
You know, in the way that we did. And that we're having, even the fact that we're having this conversation to just allow me to expand upon, you know, my tattoos, my parents, my background to, you know, to a certain extent, even all the way, like I talked a little bit just about, you know, therapy in the Black community, tattoos in the Black community, art in the Black community. We need to talk more about this. And even, like we said, the Hispanic community and Puerto Ricans, it's we're so diverse. Uh-huh. And we're so diverse, and I think all of it needs to be celebrated and honored.
Uh-huh. I agree with that. And like I said, I'm very excited to have you on the cover. I cannot wait to see what you come up with, because I know I'm happy with the pictures that you already took, and I thought that was perfect. So I remember I hit him up. I said, hey, are you gonna send the other pictures? He was like, we're doing another shoot. I was like, what? I thought we was going with these pictures. And he was like, no, we're doing another shoot. I said,
oh no, we're trying to.
I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, okay, because really y'all guys aren't really focusing on the tattoos. So with the new shoot, you can focus on the tattoos. So I can't wait to see what you guys come up with, because I already know it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited about that now. I've actually been putting together, you know, we were thinking about some different mood boards and things like that. So I'm excited about it. So we are actually trying to come up with some different things for the new issue to give people another glimpse of Tony Garcia.
Yeah, and I see that our page is getting a lot of support from Atlanta and a lot of females at that. We got like a lot of dudes on the page, but it's a lot of females from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, because it's a lot of women that have tattoos that are interested in modeling, but they've always, you know, some people, it's presented as a uh-huh. barrier. And so even if you, you know, you have a good look, you might feel as if, oh, I have, you know, this scripture, or I got too many flowers, or this tribal tattoo that is going to hinder me from modeling. And it's just like, I want to just tell people, do it. You actually never know. Like I initially thought that I have way too many tattoos. My whole back is covered. My arms, my leg, my thigh, my inner forearm. It's just, what can they say? No. No is just redirection. I'll find my avenue, and I have been slowly finding my way and my avenue and people that celebrate Tony for who she is, and you're just another example mm-hmm. of that.
Oh yeah, speaking of that, I don't want to tell anyone listening, If you do not have a lot of tattoos, you still can submit. You just got to have tattoos. And, you know, as long as your tattoos is nice. Like, if you got some cheesy tattoos that a bootleg tattoo artist did, you're probably not going to get in the magazine. But if you have a real nice tattoo by a professional tattoo artist, or even if they're not professional, if your tattoo look good because they have skills, because not all good tattoo artists are licensed. There's a lot of people who do it for fun or whatever. So if as long as your tattoo look good and not cheesy, yeah, you can get into the magazine. So I just wanted to let everyone know listening that you can still submit.
That is good. That is good. Just giving everyone an opportunity to shine, from the models that are displaying the art all the way to the artists that have created the art. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to get a lot of submissions. This is going to give a lot of like you said, male models too, mm-hmm. and female models the opportunity to celebrate their art, to tell the story, because you do interviews. Mm-hmm. To give a closer glimpse of at who they are as a person.
Yeah, and I'm working on getting this male R&B singer on the cover. And so a lot of ladies love him. He did these pictures that they're going to really love. And so I'm waiting. So I'm going to see if I can get him on the cover. I can't really say who he is because it's not confirmed, but I'm trying to get this male R&B singer on the cover. And like I said, a lot of ladies love this guy. So if I can get him, that'll be great, because I know the ladies must really pay attention, because, you know, they love this dude.
So I hear you have a lot of plans. You got some heat coming.
Yeah, well, hopefully. So I'm just waiting.
Hopefully. I'm going to think optimistically.
Okay, but yeah.
That things will fall into
place.
Yeah,
definitely, because I know he liked the magazine. He already checked it out, and I'm just waiting for the pitch to see if they can, you know, book a shoot and do it.
Okay. So it's a movement.
Yeah, and think about it. I mean, they saw your when I sent it to them. I sent your cover, so, and then that I think they was interested.
Like I cannot. This is amazing. And like I think this is just the beginning. But the fact that you had faith in my image, and that this would be a good representation of what your company is all about, that's astounding to me. So I appreciate it, because like you said, when you're wanting to reach out to people, that's the image that they see. Mm-hmm. Before they've spoken to you or said anything, that's what they see. And so I'm humbled that, you know, like I said, you've gotten a lot of positive responses. I've gotten a lot of positive responses. And I think, you know, like I said, it's momentum. It's catching. And I'm happy to be a part of the movement at the beginning.
Yeah.
First issue.
Yeah, I think if people keep showing it, I mean, keep sharing it, because like I said, I've seen everywhere I go, I see the cover. So if people keep sharing it, you might go viral with your cover.
That would be something pretty cool. I don't think I've never gone viral before, so that would be amazing.
Yeah, it's just a great picture. And like I said, I know when you and Antoine get together, y'all gonna do something even hotter. So, you know, because I thought that was hot. Can't really wait to see what you come up with.
Okay.
So yeah, and for anyone to listen to this show, that magazine should be out. I'm gonna work my butt off, even if I have to stay up all night, me and my staff. And we're gonna get the magazine out September the 1st, so you can order it September the 1st from mayelinc.com, and it'll be available. The link will be on the front page. And like I said, it's packed with a lot of good content. It's not, there's some black tattoo magazines, but they don't go in like we did on this issue. This issue is like Urban Ink, but it's even better than Urban Ink. We got so much content for you. that you're going to be ready for the next issue after you get this issue. And I'm very humble and not being cocky, but you know, me and my team, we really work hard on this issue, so everyone's gonna love it.
Well, it has definitely been a pleasure speaking with you. I appreciate you giving me the space and opportunity just to talk a little bit, because I really share on this level, especially for it to be, it's gonna be broadcasted. People are gonna mm-hmm. hear it, so. I appreciate you allowing me this opportunity to just really kind of expand upon some things and tell my story. So thank
you. You're welcome. And just want to let everyone know, this is going to be on a lot of platforms. It's going to be on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, and some other platforms. So if you want to listen to it on your favorite app, you may just look for Mayel Ink Tattoo Podcast, and you can listen to it on any platform. Do you have any shout outs?
Oh man, I would have had to plan for that. I have like such a long list of just people, but I definitely want to say my mom, my dad, my daughter, you know, I hate calling out names because you feel like you're gonna miss somebody. So I'll just because I'm as you, when you asked it, like a lot of faces, some faces popped in. I got people that I want to thank from 2005. They don't even realize how what they said helped me along my journey in 2020. So for right now, I'm going to stick with, because that's what we've been talking about. You know, I'm going to stick with my mom. I'm going to stick with my dad. And I'm going to stick with my daughter, because those were the inspirations for the initial shoots.
Okay.
So I think that is fair. You know, my dad, my mom, they provided me with the jeans, and they provided me with the jeans. And, you know, my daughter, she just inspires me to pull more out of me than I knew existed.
Okay. Nice.
You know, so I'm going to stick with those three for right now. If the opportunity comes again, I'm going to have a list ready. And I'm gonna have a store for each.
Okay, yeah, I probably need to get you back on and interview you when the magazine come out.
I would love that.
We could do that, definitely. So we just need to get together and schedule it. So everybody, do you have any closing words? Matter of fact, what's some tips you can give to people when they get in, like, we got like a lot of listeners that may not have tattoos, but they're interested in tattoos. So what are some tips you could give people when they're getting their first tattoo?
I would definitely say find a professional tattoo artist. Make sure I can't say that enough. Take a look at their work. So just don't go in there because you're excited and it's a spontaneous type of event and pick the tattoo off the wall and say, that guy, he's available, I'm going to take him. No, take a look at their portfolio, the eggs sometimes that they put in front of their booth. Make sure that their equipment is hygienic. Have a consultation. And so I think that's one thing that people like, oh, Tony, did you just go in? No, I actually had a whole consultation. I spoke with the person. They need to be as excited about the concept of the tattoo as I am. So we need to be able to sit in each other's space and talk about what it is that I'm getting permanently imprinted on my body. And I need to feel good that they feel good about it, and that it's not just a kind of run-of-the-mill type situation. So each of my tattoos, me and the tattoo artist, we were chilling, chopping it up, having a good, sincere time. And after it was done, they were like, man, look at that. And I was like, can you believe what we did? And it was awesome. So you want it to be an experience. But again, like I said, have that consultation. Uh-huh. Look at their portfolio, because each tattoo artist has a different style. Uh-huh. You want to make sure that their equipment is clean. They're clean. And you want to kind of get down to you're not going to know them personally. But just, can you be in their space for a good amount of time while you're getting this tattoo done and feel good about what's going on and ask questions along the way? Because this is permanent. And for a lot of people, they're not just getting any tattoo. A lot of these tattoos are for grief. It's for healing purposes. It's a story. So you want to make sure that it's done right. The other thing, if you're getting words, please proofread it. I have seen a couple of Trulies with the E in it and or misspelled words. And I'm not going to, it's not because people don't know how to spell it. Sometimes you're just so excited. You are so excited that you don't proofread the tattoo. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say do the consultation. Take your time. Look at the tattoo. Read the words. Make sure that it's wherever you're getting it at, that you look in the mirror, you feel good about it. You know, move around with it a little bit. Walk around the shop if you need to with the stamp on. To really get a feel for this is what I want. Because it's permanent, it's a representation of you, it's gonna be there unless you decide to go through that whole procedure to get it removed. So those are a few tips that I have for anyone that is wanting to get a new tattoo. On the other one, if you're getting it in the summertime, I know you want to show it off. The sun will damage it. Cool water will damage it. Cover it up. I know it's difficult. You want to show it, but cover it up. The sun will damage it. I think that's it. That's all the things that have really popped up in my mind that people have asked me when they've been like, oh, so what did you do when you got your first tattoo?
I'm going to add on to make sure you eat something before you go to the shop. Also, remember that get you enough rest, and remember that it can take a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of my tattoos were done in mm-hmm. sessions. So my back tattoo, I still got compliments on, but basically sometimes what people were complimenting was a rough mm-hmm. draft. That was the outline and mm-hmm. some shading. I had to go back 2 or 3 more times to actually get that completed. So it's actually mm-hmm. a process. It is a process. So no, you're right. Get some rest, eat, and be prepared for it to be a process, because sometimes they're not going to sit there and do a whole elaborate back piece in one sitting. It's usually broken down. So stay the course and trust the process.
Yeah, because the TV show, you know, a lot of people go by the TV where they go in and they out in no time. That's not the reality.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. I walked around because life kind of gets in the way. And so I walked around with this rough draft on my back for a minute before it got fully completed. But once it was done, it looked
really
nice.
That's another thing. So, be prepared to spend some money.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it's not, I don't want to say it's super expensive, but it's definitely not... It's not something that I went in thinking that it was going to be cheaper, that I was going to get a deal. You're paying someone for their mm-hmm. craft. And so I would definitely say it that way. So I don't want to say, you know, it's expensive or it's cheap. Just think about it. You're paying someone for their craft, their skill, their expertise, because they're engraving something into your flesh. And so I actually had to say it that way so that, you know, people really understand.
Yeah.
When someone gives you their price, that is why.
Mm-hmm. And you're paying for their time. So you can't. You're not going to go in there and get a $20 mm-hmm. tattoo most of the time.
So that is, so I don't think I've ever told anyone like how much I've spent on my tattoos. I just say I paid for their expertise, mm-hmm. Their craft, their art, and their ability to permanently engrave something in my flesh that I'm going to be happy with to the day that I die, unless I get it removed. And they look at me like, Tony, that was a bit much. It's not. You just never heard it.
That's another reason
way.
Why this magazine is important, because I've seen some of the other tattoo magazines, but they don't really cover this. The black tattoo magazines. But with this tattoo magazine, we're actually trying to find out and we're getting tips from the tattoo artists on how, you know, what you mm-hmm. need to prepare and everything. And then you can actually use our magazines to find a tattoo artist to work on your tattoos. Yep. And then also, we have a social network. You should join also. It's mayelinc.com. Just go to mayelinc.com/register. So what we're going to do is we're going to work on getting tattoo artists up there. And then you can show off your tattoos on the site. You don't have to worry about being put in social media jail. You can post your tattoos and you can post anything you want to post. But it is a tattoo community. And soon we're going to have tattoo artists up there so that you can look at their portfolio. Tattoo artists, if you're a tattoo artist and you don't have a website, Mayel Inc. is a good spot for you to show off your work.
See, just opening up doors for people. Mm-hmm.
And then we have a site like YouTube where you can upload your videos showing your work also.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, again, I'm humbled. I definitely appreciate the opportunity to speak on a few things that I rarely get the opportunity to speak on. And I look forward to being on another show when the magazine has been published, just to just talk about it.
Definitely. And do you have any closing mm-hmm. words?
Nothing substantial. No words of wisdom. Just, I guess thinking about just how the magazine came about and me being on the cover. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, despite. And when I say despite the circumstances, despite what's going on, despite what people have told you, just keep putting one foot in front of the other, because that's really what I can say that I've done. You know, you keep going. You have something that you want to do, something that you're passionate about, keep going. And to make it more specific for Mayel Inc., I was told a lot of things that I probably wouldn't be able to do because of my tattoos. Uh-huh. And so despite comments, and this is going way back, so this isn't even anything recent. This is, you know, I'm an adult now, but like I said, I've been getting tattoos since my teenage years. So I had people telling me this is technically a child. You know, you're not grown when you're 17, 18. You're not grown when you're 20. There were people literally telling me this, you know, that's, and you know, and that might. And so I kept putting one foot in front of the other, despite what was said, what was going on to the left and to the right of me. And I'm slowly but surely getting to who Tony is and embracing the wholeness of me. So
yeah,
that's
then when we mm-hmm. released the kids magazine, well, a lot of people definitely didn't support it, but it's cool to see those same people. You know, I guess it didn't relate to them, so they didn't really care about it, but now a lot of them, you know, they like the tattoo magazine. So that was kind of cool to see. And it kind of, you know, I knew better, you know, from doing magazines, that not expect everyone to like what you're doing. But I was just shocked when I saw that they didn't want to support the kids platform. But I kept pushing mm-hmm. it on, kept putting out the issues, and I really didn't let that hold me back. So yeah, it definitely was a struggle with Mayel Kids, because I almost was about to stop Mayel Kids.
Yep. Okay, so I'm glad that you asked about my closing words, because that relates to that. Like you said, you, despite the lack of support or people not really, you know, putting forth the effort, comments or things like that, you kept putting one foot in front of the other, and things have came back around full mm-hmm. circle. And so keep going despite. Yes. Mm-hmm. So again, it's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed this time.
Thanks for doing the show.
Just thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mayel Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Renato Creative. I want to thank you for listening to the show. Again, make sure you share it with your friends, family, classmates, and coworkers. Look out for Mayel Inc. magazine issue number 1 featuring Tony Garcia on the cover. Look out for that, plus a lot of amazing people. This issue also featured Jay Stone. It features Colora the Bottle. I'm trying to remember everybody. It's a lot of people. It features New World Inc. out of Fayetteville. We have two tattoo artists from that. Doll Inc. out of Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth area. It features, and if I'm messing up people's name, I'm sorry. I'm going by what I remember. And also it features Anna Joy, aka Tattooed Cali Gal. This issue features T. Molina, the co-founder of Mayel Inc. and it just features a lot of amazing people. It features Sunny. Sunny have been trying to get in my magazine for a while, and she's finally in it, so I know she's happy. It's featured Sunny and a lot of other models, so look out for this magazine. It's a pure tattoo magazine, so it's 100% tattoo. It features the best tattoo artists. It features amazing tattoo models, and it's a collector's item. This is a magazine that all tattoo shop owners should have in their tattoo shop, because it can inspire someone. They can look at the magazine and say, hey, I want this tattoo. So this is a good tattoo magazine. And the cool thing about this tattoo magazine is it features models of color. And we're working hard to make sure that it's a great magazine, me and my team. We got so much content. We're also featuring businesses, local businesses that you could check out in the Fayetteville and Atlanta area. So, I mean, like I said, this is a good magazine. And I really want to thank everyone that contributed to the magazine to make it the great magazine it is. We put in a lot of work to get it to way that we're putting in a lot of work to make sure that it's good. Also, we want to extend the magazine. Since I talked so good about the magazine, we're gonna extend the submissions to August the 20th. So if you would like to submit to Mayel Ink Magazine, if you're a tattoo model, photographer, publicist, makeup artist, stylist, if you're part of the creative industry and you have an amazing tattoo model, or if you own a tattoo shop, we're extending submissions. We decided to do it so that we can make this magazine, because it's our first issue. We have to make it real, real good to make an impact. So we're extending submissions. You have to August the 20th now to submit to the magazine. So if you would like to submit, let me tell you what you need to do. You must be 18 first. And what you need to do is you need to send 5 to 15 pictures. If you own a tattoo shop, 5 to 15 pictures. You need to tell us what tattoo shop you work at. So I'm gonna tell you what you need to do if you are a tattoo artist. You need 5 to 15 images. You need to include your name. You need to show your work. Like before you even submit to us or ask about submitting to us, show us your work, so, and then we can go look you up and we'll decide if we're gonna feature you. Because you submit don't mean that you're gonna get a feature. We have the right to refuse to publish you. So that's what you need to do if you're a tattoo shop owner, and include as much information. And after that, we'll send you an interview so that you can fill it out. If you are a model, you need to send your name. You need to send 7 to 10 pictures. You can go up to 15. 7 to 10 pictures. You need to send, they must be professional also. Your name, your social media link, same thing with the tattoo artist. Send your social media link. You need to send, I'm trying to think everything you need to send. Yeah, send your name, social media, so that we can go look at your stuff and be like, okay, so that's who that is. And make sure you follow us at Mayel Ink. You do not have to join our social network to submit to the magazine, but we do, and you don't have to follow us. But it'll be nice for you to follow us if you do submit. That's all you have to do. You don't have to be a professional model, but you must probably work with a photographer that can help you with poses and stuff. So you don't have to be professional to submit. You just need to probably work with a professional photographer or study poses. And that's all I can really say. And like I said, issue number 2 cover is available right now, so you can submit for issue number 2. So start submitting now so that you can get into issue number 1. And if your images is amazing, you might get the cover for issue number 2. So that's what you need to do. You can submit to contact@mayelink.com. again, contact@mayelink.com. that's also the link that you need to contact us if you would like an interview. If you are doing something amazing in your community, if you own a tattoo shop, or if you are a tattoo model, you may be able to get on this radio show. So only thing you need to do is contact us and say, hey, I would like an interview. But make sure you include your portfolio and information about yourself. Again, thanks for listening to the show. If you miss any part of the show, only thing you have to do is go to mayelinc.com/radio. You also can listen to the show on Spotify. It's also on anchor.fm/mayelinc, and it's on some other platforms. Again, until next time, good night.
Inc. Tattoo Podcast. Feature tattoo professionals and models.